So we have been studying through the book of Philippians, and we've been learning a lot of really good things about this book and Paul's encouragement to us as a church body. You know, some of the things that we've learned is we need to be united, and he's engaged that. We talked about that last week. There was an issue going on between these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, and they were struggling with each other. And they were ladies that had contended in the gospel. They were ones that had worked side by side with Paul, and now they were at odds with each other. And so he's saying we need to get over these situations that we have and work through these situations and grow together, be united as a body together. Paul has also been talking about how this church has been a blessing ever since the very beginning. So think about how it began with Paul is trying to go through Asia. He's wants to share the gospel all the way through Asia, and the Holy Spirit keeps him from being able to do that. And he gets to the coast, and he gets this vision. A man from Macedonia says, you need to come over here. So he goes across the water. They end up in Philippi. That's where they meet Lydia, who is a lady who sells purple cloth. So that means she's got quite a bit of money, probably has a big house, and probably that's where the church began, in her house. And so they begin this church. This church is so excited about the mission in the kingdom that they say, we want to give, we want to support. And so they're constantly sending support to Paul. And Paul continues, even from the beginning, he sets up elders and he continues to send letters back to mentor them, to send Timothy back and people back to help them and encourage them and help them grow. And so today, we come to this place in Philippians 4, but before we get into that, I want us to look at the central message of the book of Philippians. And the central message is this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. So it's all about relationships. How are we going to have relationships with others? Have the same mind that Jesus had. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He had power, he had reputation, he had everything at his disposal, but he didn't flaunt that. He was saying, I want to show you him. I want you to have a relationship with God like I have this relationship. So rather, Jesus makes himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So think about Jesus. Jesus comes here. Jesus should be the king. Even the temptation, you should be a king. You should be Caesar. You should be the one in charge of the entire world. And yet Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus comes to serve. He's like, I want to serve. I want to give my life for everyone. And it continues that once Jesus dies, God exalts him to the highest place, gives him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, everywhere, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the ultimate conclusion. It's the conclusion that's going to happen, regardless of people, whether they believe in Jesus now or not, when they meet Jesus, either when they die or at the judgment when it happens, everyone's going to know Jesus. And at that moment, they're going to confess that Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Lord. And it doesn't matter what they believe now. They're going to know the truth when that happens. So Jesus is the central part. And then we move on to today. We're getting into the ending of this. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, because I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gift. What I desire is that more be accredited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the focus here, as Paul has been going through this, the focus on this section is now on the gift that Paul has received from the church in Philippi. So, and the concern, if you think about this, and think about the concern, Paul's concern with this gift is not that, hey, I've got a lot of need, give me, give me, give me. Paul's concern, like he said, is that more be accredited to their account. Now think about what that means. He's concerned about the gift that is coming because he's concerned about what the Philippian church is doing and how the Philippian church is living. That's where his concern is. So his concern is not just on, thank you for giving me this, but his concern is on, you're still being faithful. Because as we read through the letters, we see that there's a lot of people that are trying to derail the church. And when he receives the letter from Epaphroditus, the letter I think is more important than the actual money that he got, because that shows that the church is still living it. The church is still living. And when I think of what Paul is talking about here, when he talks about this gift and this giving, I think the church in Philippi, they understand it. So like today when we talked about communion and feasting at the table, we receive at the table. We receive the body of Jesus. We receive the blood of Jesus. We eat that. It becomes a part of us. And then in a way, I think of it that I become now like Jesus. So as I feast with Jesus, then I want to become like Jesus, to live like him. But as we eat, then there's another thing that happens afterwards. A lot of times we say that it's separate and apart from communion. But the interesting thing is that in the early church, it was all together. People came together, they broke bread together, they prayed together, they sang together, they did it all together, and they gave. They gave to everyone who had need. It was all part of it. And I really love the symbolism and how we operate and do it. It's a convenient time to do it because the guys are all up and they don't have to get up again. But it's a good thing because I have just received Jesus. And after receiving Jesus, I'm going to give. The church in Philippi did this. They received Jesus when Paul came and he told them about Jesus, and they're like, the world needs to know about this. And so after Paul set up elders and put it all together, and he's like, I have to continue going and continue planting churches, they said, we got to give. We got to give. We got to keep this going. We got to support you because we've got to have the world hear about Jesus. Everyone needs to hear about Jesus. And I think of what Jesus says in Matthew 10:8, where he says, freely you have received, now freely give. We have received from Jesus, and now we give. Did you know that our faith increases as we give more? The more we give, the more our faith increases. Because if you look at verse 17, when Paul says, what I desire is that more be accredited to your account, he's talking about that your faith may continue to grow. So the more we give, the more we receive. And verse 19, I think, is an amazing experience. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God is going to meet all your needs. So consider your needs. What are your needs? I'm not talking about selfish desires, but our needs. What are truly needs? I need food. I need clothes. I need a place to live. That's what they talk about in psychology. The base levels. Food, clothing, and shelter. Those are the things that I need. Beyond that, what do I need? I need relationships. Relationships with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And relationship with Jesus. And so we think about our needs. And yet, in our culture, in our American culture, we see all these different things that say, well, you need this new iPhone. You need this. You need this. You need this. And we get distracted. We get deluded with all of these things. But I think of what happens when we consider our needs and we trust that God is going to take care of those. Trust that He's going to take care of everything. And I love that because God, in verse 19, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. We might end in financial ruin as an individual. You might have that happen. So it's not talking about financial needs, because we have brothers and sisters that are living in Africa, brothers and sisters that are living in other places. They're not safe. They don't have enough food. And yet God is walking with them. We don't want to live in a health and wealth gospel. We want to live in following Jesus and what that means to follow Jesus. But as we experience Jesus more, I think we want to give more. Because the more that I experience Jesus, the more that I want to give. The more that I want to give of my time, the more that I want to give of my money, the more that I want to give of who I am to people. Because I see God at work and I'm like, I got to join that. I got to step into that. I got to invest in that. I got to be a part of that. Every time that I see that, I want to do that. We saw 2 weeks ago when we gave an additional $1,000 on top of our giving, an additional $1,020 because a preacher's wife in Mexico needed to go to the hospital because of complications with the pregnancy. And we said, man, we need that. We need to do that. We need to take care of that. Thank you for your gift. And I think of, when I think of the gift of time and the gift of giving of their time, I think of when we moved. We moved here and we had people show up to help us move twice. Once into our storage unit, twice out of our storage unit. And the giving of your time. I think of the people who have worked on this building with the maintenance on this building. And they have worked a lot on this building to do all kinds of things to minimize the costs, to make it work the best that we can with the minimal amount of money so that we can have money for ministry, so that we can continue the work here, and all of the amazing things that have happened. And so I want to thank you for that. I want to thank the people that sort clothes, that hang clothes, that take care of all of the clothes that we do and the ministry that we do to give people clothes. I want to thank you for those that give food for our food pantry, because we see people that come in every single week that are in need. They're not able to make it work, and they've got disabilities and things that are going on, and they need help. So we are a church that gives because of what we have received. And so now, let me place a couple of needs before you to just kind of talk about. So look at the carpet that's either inside the aisle. You can look inside, you can look outside. What do you see? Wrinkles. And if you look on the outside, we've already tried to stretch it and make it work, but it keeps wrinkling. So we need new carpet. It's a need that we have. What's that going to cost? It's going to cost $10,000. So but we need it, and we know that we need it. And we want to do that. And so that's something that our elders have been talking about and thinking about. And it's like, we need to do that. We need to make this happen. And now I want you to do another thing. I want you to look at the pews that you're sitting in. Especially like where my wife is sitting. It's torn. We have tears and it's worn. We're going to need to do something with that. It's a need that needs to be taken care of. We got two options. See, this is where, you remember way back when we talked about do everything without grumbling and arguing? Because when we have a conversation about where we sit, man, there's a lot of chaos that can happen. Because we actually have two options. I checked it out. We can redo these. I called a company, they'll bring somebody out and we can redo them, and it'll cost $20,000 to redo all of them. The other option is that we can do chairs, cushy chairs, and that's $10,000. Now both of them cost money. They cost a lot of money, but it's something that we need to think about. Because what happens is that when people come into our church, one thing that they'll know is they'll say, man, you're a loving church because of the relationships. But the other thing is, first impression, when they walk in the door and they see wrinkled carpet, they see torn pews, it's going to be an impression that this is a church that's dying. And we know we're not. And so we want to work on our first impression. So it's something that we're going to be talking about, that we're going to be working on and thinking about. And so I think of Paul, you know, what's Paul doing here? Paul is talking about the gift. He's talking about what's out there. He's talking about the needs. Paul had a need, but he knows how to be content. We know how to be content. We know how to work through things. And we're going to continue to do that. But there's also a need. There's another need that I wanted to kind of put out there. What about a youth intern for the summer? A youth minister that comes in for the summer to spend time with our teens and really work with our teens. That would be really cool to do. So that's another vision that's out there, to bring in a youth intern to work with our, you know, work with them for 3 months, to work with us towards a mission trip, to send our kids on a mission trip. Because a mission trip does two things. One is it's an opportunity to serve, but number two, it's also an opportunity to bond together, to build relationships that can last a lifetime with each other as well as with Jesus. So now that you know, I want to praise God for your concern, because now you know. And I want to praise God for the future gifts. As we honor God with the building, as we honor God with our money, as we honor God with the things that we do here to His glory. But let's go back here. Let's go back to Philippians 4, verse 10. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Paul is rejoicing because the Philippians were concerned about him. They were concerned about the spread of the gospel. They were concerned with his material needs as well as the spiritual needs. And it's not that we need more, but it's an example of their faith in Jesus. They believe in Jesus so much that they send a gift. And Paul's concern is whether the church will survive. Will they make it? Will they continue to be strong, or will they get caught up in frivolous things? The gift is an example, though, of their faithfulness. Their faithfulness to the gospel. I guess this is what's making noises. So let's reflect on this just for a minute. Paul was the spiritual leader of this church. He planted it, he trained the leaders, and he continued to mentor them through letters and sending Timothy and others back and forth. So I want to ask you, how do you feel about your spiritual leaders here? How do you feel about the elders? When you think about the elders, are your thoughts filled with expectations? My elders must visit me in the hospital. My elders must take care of me. My elders must talk to me. My elders must do all this stuff for me. My elders must listen to me when I complain. Is it filled with expectations? What about your concern for our elders? Many leaders and elders dwell on these words of Paul. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Now, a lot of times we think of this in a material standpoint, but I think of it also in a spiritual standpoint. Because, excuse me, emotionally, the elders get a lot of stuff. hitting them from all kinds of different situations. And what do? They, I think, live in verse 13. I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. Jesus continues to strengthen me. Jesus continues to walk with me. And so I can continue to do this because of Jesus, because of what Jesus does. And I love what Paul does here, because right after this, he says this, and then he goes, yet. And that's exactly the word I would have used too. Yet, it was good for you to share in my troubles. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. So think about our leaders. And think about what our leaders do and what happens with our leaders. So I was blessed, my family and I were blessed last Sunday to go over to Steve and Patsy's for lunch, Sunday lunch. And we were sitting there visiting and talking, and Steve made a comment. I don't even know if you remember it, but he made a comment. He said, I really think that our leaders need to go to seminars and to go to different things so that they can continue to be trained and continue to grow. And that was such a blessing, because so next week Amanda and I are going to be gone. We're going to a seminar, actually a retreat, with other ministers. 16 other ministers and wives from Churches of Christ throughout Oregon, Idaho, and Washington are all getting together to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to talk about what is God doing in our churches, how are we going to continue to reach out in our communities. And so it's really just a great time to be together and to really be energized and to learn and then to come back and be, you know, rejuvenated. And so it was such a blessing, because he shared that, and I was like, wow, that's an affirmation about us going and being a part of this. I think about our elders and how our concern for them are. You know, I think of Jack and Faye and being elders and being a part of this church and serving in so many ways. I want to say thank you for that. I think of Doug and Dawn and continuing to be here through all of the things that are going on and continuing to serve and to be an elder. Thank you. And I think of Doug and Carol, of the work that you guys do. Dell and Carol. Did I say Doug again? Nice. I knew what I was saying. Yeah. We're all together. And I thank you for continuing to serve. And I think of another one. This is a secret news flash. James and Lynetta. James and Lynetta continue to be here. He's not an official elder, but he continues to serve. He continues to pour into us. He continues to be here through this transition of retirement. I heard it's a hard thing. Now, we have great elders in this church. They love this church. They sacrifice for this church. But the evil one continues to attack them and to challenge them. And it's because of the good job that they're doing. Because it's hard to be an elder. And many times what they hear is all the complaining and all the requirements. And even though I hope those things have slowed down because of what we've heard in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do everything without arguing and complaining. But what about praying for our elders and praying for their wives, praying for their families? What about sending our elders and wives cards, a card of thank you for your service? Thank you for caring. Thank you for sacrificing. What about backing up our elders in every decision because God made them elders and we submit to them? What about supporting them? And so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for our teens to grab our chairs and bring them right out here. And I want to invite our elders right up here. Right there, you can sit in that one. I want to invite our elders to come and sit in these chairs for us. Stay up here. They'll come up. And so here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like for us, all as a congregation, I want everyone to stand up, to come in, and I want you to put a hand on their shoulder, or put a hand on the shoulder of the one who is touching them, a hand on a shoulder, on a shoulder, on a whole shoulder, so that everyone is connected. I want us all to be connected together. And so as we do this, I want to talk to our elders, and I want to say that we know that you trust in Philippians 4:13, that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But we gather around you right now as the next verse. Yet it was good for us to share in your troubles. Because we trust in you. We trust in you as elders of this church. We submit to your authority as we submit to the authority of Christ. And we encourage you to lead us closer to Jesus as you yourselves are being transformed by knowing Christ more and more in your life. And we love you as elders. Let's pray. Awesome God, we thank you for elders. God, we thank you for Jack. We thank you for Doug. We thank you for Dell. And God, I pray that we listen to your Spirit when it tells us that we need to encourage these men and their wives. God, I pray that our words are words of encouragement to them. God, I pray that they will continue to be godly leaders, leaders that follow you, leaders that lead us closer to you. And God, we pray that Jesus will sustain them. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. You may go back and sit down. We pray for our leaders because we are a family. We're a family that is united by Jesus Christ, brought together by Jesus Christ. And this is what Philippians, the book of Philippians, is all about. That we are to be united in Jesus. We are to encourage one another. We are to walk with one another. We are to be concerned about one another because Jesus is concerned about us first. Because Jesus did it first. And so as we journey together towards God's purpose for our church, let us never lose sight of why we are here and whose we are. We are here to know Jesus better. We are here to make Jesus known to others. Everything else is skyballa. Let us continue to be united in Jesus. And may we be a church of peace. May our gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. If you have any needs, you can come forward as we stand and worship. Jesus together.